I'm Matt Jackford here with Chris Jacobs, singer-songwriter out of Baltimore, Maryland, who's created several albums now, including Dust to Gold, Neville Jacobs, and most recently, Color Where You Are. He's also currently touring with his band in the Color Where You Are tour. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to talk about the newest album, Color Where You Are, but first, I'd like to get into your history a little bit. So you're based out of Baltimore, Maryland. Is that where you grew up?
Yes, born and raised.
When did you start playing music, and what drew you to it?
Well, it was relatively late in the game. I started playing the guitar when I was 15, and it was probably due to seeing a friend of mine at school playing the guitar outside in the courtyard and all the girls flocking around them.
Yeah, right.
To be completely honest, that was probably what made me say, hey, Mom and Dad, I think I want to take guitar lessons. But then as I started and kind of got into it, I caught the bug pretty heavy.
Right. Yeah, that seems like a recurring story of musicians.
Yeah, I'm honest.
Right, exactly. So your songs are very blues and folk-driven. Did you listen to this kind of music growing up?
I wouldn't say growing up like as a kid, but as I got into the guitar and as I got into music, it seemed like that was a common thread amongst a lot of the artists that I initially was drawn to, as far as what their influences were. And, you know, I really was into the Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, and, you know, that sort of classic rock stuff. And as I kind of dissected their histories, it seemed like they all paid a lot of homage to the blues and folk music and American roots music. I'm definitely hugely inspired by all that stuff.
Right, yeah, I can definitely hear that in your music throughout. Was there music in your household growing up? Did your parents or siblings play music?
They didn't play, but they were huge fans. My parents were always listening to music and actually huge Deadheads. So they used to play the Grateful Dead a lot, and I hated it as a kid.
Right.
And you know, but they listened to, like, you know, Little Feat, Frank Zappa, the Beatles, Dr. John, the Neville Brothers. The Neville Brothers was actually the first concert they took me to, and I was like 7 years old.
Right. So the Neville Brothers, that's, you ended up working with them later on?
I ended up working with Ivan, yeah, who played in the Neville Brothers. His dad, you know, he's second generation. His dad's Aaron, and but he was in the band as a kid as well. But yeah, he and I became friends throughout, you know, my days with the Bridge and crossing paths with him when he was playing with Dumps the Funk, and me going down to New Orleans a lot and bumping into him, and we became friends and sort of tossed around the casual idea of collaborating and writing some tunes together, and then that finally came to be. You never know
when time stops hanging. Makes a lot of sense, you know, sort of incubated, if you will, in New Orleans in that sort of same blues folk area.
Yeah, it's a similar approach where, you know, it might be different details, but it's a similar approach of just dissecting lots of different styles, but then kind of throwing them into a big old gumbo melting pot. I think the New Orleans tradition is like that, and that's sort of been my approach as well.
Right, yeah, and that's a good image there, the gumbo, the melting pot of gumbo. I like that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about The Bridge. This is a blues, okay, folk, and funk group that was founded in 2001. Can you tell us a little bit about this band and its founding?
Yeah, started the band with my good buddy Kenny Liner, who plays mandolin. He and I grew up together and went our separate ways kind of after high school, and linked up a couple years later, and he had started playing the mandolin and I was heavy into bluegrass, so we got together and just did some picking on the couch, and then one day invited over a drummer and bass player and plugged in, and we had this funky little band that was sort of like bluegrassy, but you know, we were not trying to be a bluegrass band. We wanted to be modern and, you know, electric. And we had a saxophone, and I played electric guitar. And Yeah, we got in the van and toured around the country for 10 years.
Right, yeah.
Had a great run. Yeah.
Right, and who were the other members of the band? Were they friends of yours, or were they just, did you meet them through the band, so to speak?
A little bit of both. It started out, we had a different bass player and drummer. Bass player is one of my best friends that I grew up playing with and kind of started playing with. And then he left the band, and our first drummer left the band. And then we found some other guys just through, you know, musical connections. And then found another sax player, sort of keyboard player. Just, you know, that was sort of, you know, just looking for the right guys that were ready to tour and do the thing with us.
Right, yeah. And so the style of the Bridge, we seem to be going back to this, you know, blues, folk, you know, funk, like sort of Americana sort of style. So can you tell me a little bit about the style of the music that the Bridge played?
Yeah, we were kind of across the board.
Right.
And, we had two different songwriters, myself and Kenny, and we both had a lot of influences we were pulling from, and we never really made a decision to decide which ones we were going to leave out.
Right.
So it ended up being a huge hodgepodge. So, you know, I think one common thing throughout my whole musical career is just not thinking too hard about genre.
Mm-hmm.
Not wanting to say, you know, I'm just going to be a blues player, I'm just going to be a bluegrass player, you know, and just listening to what felt good to me. And then my approach is just trying to let it come out naturally to the song that I'm writing or to the song that I'm playing, whether it's, you know, in my guitar style, in my songwriting style, and trusting the ingredients to come out tastefully, so to speak.
Right, yeah, and it's kind of like you're paving your own style rather than going off and being one singular bluegrass.
Exactly.
So you all toured a lot, were together for 10 years, and eventually broke up in 2011. What happened, and, you know, why did you all decide to call it quits?
Well, we didn't exactly call it quits. You know, we still do a couple shows a year locally. You know, it was really just a lot of touring where we were just really all consumed with being on the road, and we played like 200 shows a year and really had no other life but the band. And after a good amount of years and seemingly pushing all the right buttons and doing, you know, it just didn't develop to the point that we wanted it to as a career and a business and way to make a living. And some of the guys were getting married, moving on, having kids, stuff like that, just wanting, you know, a normal life. We just made the decision just then and there. It was like, let's just finish out this year and, you know, just take a little break and we'll see how it goes. And that's sort of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it wasn't on bad terms. It's just...
Not at all.
Right.
Not at
right.
all.
So let's get into this latest album, Color Where You Are. The title of this album refers to the fact that your life is so busy now with family life and touring that you kind of have to find creativity wherever you are. Can you expand on this a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I don't consider myself any, you know, having it any harder than anybody else. So I don't mean, you know, it seems like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't, you know, but, you know, the lyric in the tune Painted Roads, which is sort of a meditation on just being sort of open to the present and grateful for the present and not waiting for some, you know, grand plan to emerge all the time. You know, we're so ambition-driven these days and status-driven and competitive that I think sometimes we just look way too past the present and are sort of blinded to the beauties of the present and our abilities to create beauty in the present rather than constantly striving for some grand prize. And so that was, you know, that's the theme of the tune, really. And then The Color Where You Are is a lyric in the tune, and it just sounded like a cool title, to be honest with you. You know, I'll be honest, it was probably the last piece of the whole puzzle with the title. I didn't, like, come up with it and say, okay, I'm going to write an album with this concept.
It was,
you know, seemed like a good overarching theme throughout the tunes and just throughout my life in general. But yeah, I mean, it has been a different sort of discipline having a child and touring and balancing those things, and then needing to, you know, keep writing songs and making records to propel the creativity and the art and the product.
Right. Yeah. When you come up with a song or idea, do you teach it to the band? Do you all workshop it together, or is it mostly you know, driving the ship there?
Well, when we were in the studio, it was sort of like the way it went was they had a nice little courtyard outside. I said, all right, here, let me show you this one. We sat outside. I had the acoustic guitar, and I sort of sang through the tune.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the chords, and here's the way it goes. And that's about as far as I go mm-hmm. with these guys as far as specific direction, which is a beautiful thing.
And right.
You know, I'm lucky that I have a band that I don't have to tell what to play. Being able to show guys a tune, a brand new song, and going and record it, I think brings out the instinctual musicality and the natural, organic ideas rather than, you know, sort of over-analytical or, you know, anybody getting too clever. You know, I think it lets the tune exist in its, I think, purest form that way.
Right, yeah. And in a way, it makes it sound like you're it's more of a macro manager than a micromanager, which is, you know,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I guess
way
so.
To go
that's
out.
True, yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like I'm bringing the tunes and let's have at them, you know?
Right, right. I know, I love that. Yeah. So let's get into the first song, Painted Roads. Starts with a bright mm-hmm. and sunny groove. Tell me about this song a little more. What do the words Painted Roads mean to you?
I honestly don't care to explain too much, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because yeah. I think you can lose some magic when you over-explain a song.
Right.
And
yeah.
And I like to leave interpretations open to the listener.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Let's move on to the next song, Under the Big Top. Has some
yeah.
really interesting content in it, and I enjoy
yeah.
the
yeah.
dirty, you know, old school blues in it. So what were some of the like choices? I hear the slapback delay on the guitar throughout. You know, what was the the thoughts behind the choice of that?
Yeah, I was playing my cigar box guitar on that. I have this little 3-string cigar box guitar that a friend of mine made for me. So that's like the main riff is on that. And that slapback guitar you're hearing is Jonathan Sloan. And that was just a choice he made, like I say. It was just a choice he made right then and there that worked perfectly.
Right.
Nobody really talked about it. We just sort of, I literally taught those guys that song, and we went in and cut it. It's probably the second or third take is about all. You know, we only did about 2-3 takes per song and picked the one that felt the best. And he landed on that effect and that sound, and it worked perfectly. So it's, you know, yeah, that, like I say, it's a beautiful thing when you got guys like that.
Right, yeah. That's, yeah, it helps, you know, to augment the song like that. One of the
for
licks
sure.
in there, you know, reminds me of Black Dog a little bit from Led Zeppelin. Does that harken back
sure.
to classic rock days?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe
yeah,
you're not conscious
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not intentional, but like we said earlier, it's the blues, man. You know, it's all,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, if you fuzz it out and turn it up, it becomes Zeppelin, but. If you do it on an acoustic guitar, it's Blind Willie Johnson. You know what I mean?
So right.
That's all it really is. But no, it wasn't a conscious thing.
Right. Yeah. I love the groove on that song. I think it all really came together well.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, that's a fun one. We've been enjoying playing that one live.
Yeah, that's got a great verse. And the chorus builds up to the chorus very well and has catchy, you know, melody
yeah,
to
thanks.
It. Yeah, and love the
sort of my ode to the over stimulation, over information, over consumption society that we live in. Kind of now we're just inundated with way too much stuff, stimuli, and it's sort of making us lazy-minded and instant gratification-seeking. There you go. I explained the song.
There it is. Yes.
See, some of them are easier than others.
Yeah, right. I didn't even have to ask you that time. Well, let's take a short break and listen to Under the Big Top from Chris Jacobs' new album, Color Where You Are. Step right up, get you while you can. Alligator hugger in the candy man. Pretty lights chunky like a moth to candy, buzzing around the flame. Step right up, get it while it's hot. Anything you want under the big top. Bang, bang, monkey with the soda pop. Beating the drum all day. Yeah. I do believe it's a thin slice food plate. Everybody speed date. Catching with the quick bait. Hook, line, sinker. Ain't no need to think about it. Anything you want, you got it right at the spot of your game. Gotta try to catch him, show attention deficit. No need to preface all blue, cross reference it. Hit him with the shine on the front nine, make a sign. Never have to worry about a win. Step right up, catch it while you can. Alligator hooker in the candy man. Pretty lights chunky like a moth to candy, buzzing around the frame. Step right up, get it while it's hot. Anything you want under the big tie. That was Under the Big Top from Chris Jacobs' new album, Color Where You Are. Andy's here with us right now. Another really interesting song is Rooster Coop, and that song seems to cross genres.
Yeah.
So tell me about the influence of this song and, you know, what genres are you crossing?
I can tell you the direct influence on that one. It was I started listening to this guy named Larry John Wilson, who was a singer-songwriter from Macon, Georgia.
In South Georgia, there's a river called the Ohoopee River.
He put out a few records in the 70s, and it was just this really funky country music. A couple of his songs were, I mean, he was country as all hell, but just super funky on a couple of songs, and I just love that sound. Mm-hmm. I love that old, like, Jerry Jeff Walker and some even, like, the Waylon Jennings stuff where it's just got a funky backbeat instead of the standard, you know, country shuffle stuff. So I got a heavy bluegrass background. I've studied that stuff a lot and played that stuff a lot. So it was just sort of a combination of me, you know, playing some country lick and wanting a really funky groove to it. That was how that song started, was let's make it like a country funk thing. And that was a perfect example of one that didn't have the lyrics written. Literally, like, we recorded the whole thing and then I went back and sketched out the lyrics after the fact.
Right.
And that was a fun one to write too, because, you know, as I'm listening, I'm like, what the hell am I going to write?
Yeah, right.
This about, and the first lyric that came to mind was, there's something funky in the barnyard. Worked perfectly for the groove, and then so I kind of ran with, you know, the rooster poking around the wrong hen house, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah. Right, that's great. So you had the melody and then you sort of fit the words to it.
Exactly. That's sort of my process, man. It's mm-hmm. like, I feel like the way that I do it is, sometimes you just let the words sound themselves out when I don't know exactly what I'm going to write. Sometimes the words will reveal themselves in the song, in the melody. If I just sort of open my mouth and start singing as I feel it, occasionally, you know, some gems kind of just fall down from the sky, and you're like, okay, there it is, you know.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I could have never consciously thought of that. A line that maybe has more pointed content doesn't feel as good as a line that just sounds good when you sing it and feels good, you know. So that's I sort of try to follow that approach instead of you know, trying to be too wordy or clever or, like I say, pointed, you know, literally with what I'm trying to say. It's just opening it up to that. That's where the magic happens.
Right, yeah. It's like a much more subconscious approach to song.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Let's take a listen to Rooster Coop from Chris Jacobs' new album, Color Where You Are.
She told me eventually you're gonna reap what's so jail. She low. Early in the morning, new cow cry. Ain't had no butter since the bull ain't been by. A little horse was a worry about that gal. And have a little cavalry about a mile long by now. And there they go walking two by two. And I wonder what's a little bit of boy to do. Oh, well, my mama, she told me, keep it tidy where you eat, I want ya. What's good for the gander, my temper goo. Round your rooster coo.
That was Rooster Coop from Chris Jacobs' new album, Color Where You Are, and he's here with us now. Well, you know, all these songs sound great, you know, from the songwriting to the performance, and the mix and mastering also sounds great.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, we had it mixed by a guy. We sent it out to a guy who I've been a fan of, never had a chance to work with, named Ryan Freeland, who's he's worked, he's a great engineer. He's worked on a lot of the Joe Henry records, if you're familiar with him. Great producer, and he's worked on a bunch of stuff that I've been a fan of. And so we reached out to him, and he was into it. So it was nice to kind of, we recorded it at Montrose Studios in Richmond, Virginia, with a great engineer, Adrian Olson, and some great gear. So we had some good sounds going in, and it was nice to pass it off to kind of a neutral party who hadn't heard it yet, to kind of take it and run with it the way he saw fit. So, it was a cool thing. Great experience to work with.
Great. Yeah. So that's, you know, Color Where You Are, great album, put forth by your songwriting and the amazing musicianship of your band. Is there anything else you'd like to say about this album?
I think we kind of covered it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Talk about it a lot lately. Just listen to it.
Right, yeah, yep, exactly. Chris Jacobs, singer-songwriter, thank you so much for coming on our show and talking about your latest album, Color Where You Are.
Thanks so much for having me.